All right. Are you ready? Hi, this is Ashley.
And Maggie.
And you're listening to The Watering Hole, a place where animals and animal enthusiasts regularly drink. Every episode, we'll talk about different animals and why they're cool, from basic biology to the threats they face and what people are doing about it, all while under the influence. All right.
Okay, so cheers to season two.
Woo-wee.
Oh, down the hatch.
Oh my god. I knew I was nervous about that for a reason. That was great. So if you couldn't tell, we don't have wine today. We're very unprepared.
We forgot the wine.
So we just took a shot. And I'm already regretting it.
Oh, it's gonna be great. Like, I've got goosebumps all over. And it's not that it was... I can do shots of tequila. But this tequila, I think, is just past its prime.
Man, that was...
Well, all right, on to beer.
All we know is that this is gonna be pretty great. But yeah, we have no wine. Which is...
Why is the wine gone?
Well, that's a good question. But we are back. We are excited. See, we're so excited for season two that we forgot the wine.
I know.
No, we're back. It's been a while.
It's been a minute. Thanks for sticking with us.
It's been a couple of minutes.
It was a really busy summer for both of us.
Everything's just...
There's been a lot of life changes, I think.
I feel like all of 2019 has been life changes and busyness.
It has been. So... You have a new job.
Yes.
And you're loving it.
I am.
And you're doing like actual video editing.
Yes.
And life is good.
Life is good.
I have now visited all seven continents.
There you go.
That's news.
Nice. So yeah, you are busy traveling the world.
Yeah.
I think we've both been pursuing other things that we really enjoy and doing things we love. But we love this. So we're back.
We're back. And if anybody out there wants to pay us to do this full time and quit our jobs, that also works.
Do it. If we haven't enticed you already, I mean, I don't know what else we can do.
Beats me.
We'll see what happens after this shot.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. I'm pretty pumped about my animal.
Ooh, aminal?
Yep, my aminal.
I can't wait because I have no idea what you chose.
I know. I saw what you chose when I was plugging in my laptop and I feel like a bit of a cheater. Are we picking that up? Maggie's trying to be really quiet eating this piece of pizza. Listen, I'm just going to...
In the past, I've eaten really crunchy pizza.
Remember when we had pretzels that one time? That was a horrible idea.
Okay.
I'm going to just need this piece of pizza because of that shot, and then I'll be good.
Okay. Great. So, should I just go ahead and get my animal out of the way then? Not that it's getting anything out of the way, right? Because we all love animals.
Yeah. I mean, do you want to... Is it because my piece of pizza that I picked up is a lot bigger than the piece of pizza you have right now?
Meaning, I'll be prepared to talk sooner than
Guys,
you are?
If you want to pay us for this, do it. It's worth it. We're an investment. I promise.
Okay. How do I introduce my animals since you're not guessing?
Was there a particular reason you chose it?
I was listening to our bonus episode. To get in the mood for this.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah.
Prepping.
And we mentioned it in our bonus episode. And I was like, that's a cool one. I bet you most people don't know what it is.
Uh-huh. Well, I was going to say, I'll guess why you picked it. But you just told me.
Oh, whoops. Do you want to guess?
Guess I should have led with, I'll guess why you picked it. But you know what? I don't care. This is going to be real bad to edit with all this chewing.
It's okay. It's okay. It's character.
We'll go with that.
Character.
But yeah, if you want to go first.
Okay. So, folks, I just gave you my reason why I chose this animal because we mentioned it in our bonus episode.
Go back to the bonus episode, re-listen,
and try to figure it out.
Yeah.
Because it's probably one of the animals that you heard us mention that you aren't familiar with. It's called the tapir.
Ooh.
or its Latin name, Tapiridae.
Ooh.
Yeah. So the tapir, if you are not familiar, it's like a pig with a trunk.
It's so cute.
It's so funny looking. They are mammals that live primarily what I used to think was just Central and South America, but there are also tapirs found in Southeast Asia.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why I forgot that.
Well, how many species we got in there?
There are five species of tapir. Mm. Now, if the pig with a trunk wasn't descriptive enough, I'll describe them. So, in Central America, they are often referred to as a mountain cow. They are not cows. It does look like a big brown pig with a very long nose that almost makes you think of, like, what's something with a long nose? I don't know.
An elephant?
No, it's not a trunk. It's not a full-on trunk. It's more like a long snout.
It looks like, I mean, it very much looks like it could be like a Star Wars character. Like,
yeah!
Aren't they like, you know those things?
Yep. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm not like a huge Star Wars person. I know enough to be like...
So I'm probably going to get a lot of audience flack for this, but I've only ever seen one Star Wars movie.
So like none of the new ones?
No.
Oh, I've seen the new ones, and the old ones I saw when I was like five, so that's my memory of them.
So, no, but you make a good point, because the tapirs do kind of look like Star Wars animals.
Right? They don't look like they're of this world.
They're
one of those animals that you're like, this doesn't look real.
This doesn't look real. Like, what happened here in evolution? Well, this is actually a really funny thing. Cool thing about evolution is that tapirs are one of the most ancient animals on Earth.
Ooh!
So they've been around for 35 million years.
That's too long. That's not too long.
It's very long.
That's just very long.
But it shows you, like, evolution figured out what it was doing, and it has worked. Yeah, for that long. So yeah, it's this large brown animal that kind of looks like a pig with a long, like rubbery looking snout that can move around in different directions. They can get up to 700, 800 pounds.
Damn.
So they're pretty darn big.
Yeah. That's a big pig.
Big pig.
So question.
Yes.
So from my prior knowledge,
yes,
I believe the closest relatives of the tapirs, am I jumping the gun here?
No, tell us.
Well, so they're from the order Parasodactyla, which means odd.
How'd you remember that? That's incredible.
Man, I took a social organization of mammals class, and it was like all memorization, and I love to memorize things.
Oh my god.
But so those are our odd-toed ungulates.
Yes.
And so their closest relatives are horses, who have a single toe, which is a hoof, and rhinos.
Yes, correct.
Yes, who have three toes, which is also interesting because I believe there are five species of rhino as well.
Mm-hmm. There are five species of rhino.
They share that family. They're close to rhinos and they're close to horses.
Mm-hmm.
The horse one always gets me because if you think about it, a horse's hoof is just one big toe. Could you imagine?
That's very strange.
That's right.
So with regard to the toes, it's actually really interesting because tapirs have 14 toes.
Wait, what?
They have four toes on each front foot.
Okay.
Three toes on each back foot.
Gotcha.
Isn't that fascinating?
That is fascinating. Because I was like, are you calling me a liar? But it's because of the three on the back.
Of the three on the back. They're
odd-toed ungulates.
So they also, to describe them a little bit more, they have like a little fuzzy mane on their necks, on the back of their necks, kind of like a horse. My dog needs to chill out.
I'm sorry if you... Do you have something to say? Tell us. Dog ASMR.
Our goes. Go okay. Tea kettle somewhere else. To describe them a little bit more, yes, they have a little fuzzy mane on their back, kind of like horses, but then they also have small eyes, teardrop-shaped ears, so they're kind of cute, right?
Oh, they're super cute. Have you ever seen the... Just go right now. Do yourself a favor. If you're having a bad day, even if you're having a good day, Google baby tapir.
Oh, we're going to get to those.
Oh, I'm so sorry, but it's really cute.
They are really cute.
All right, hold off. Don't Google yet.
So?
We're sponsored by Google.
I don't know. Tapirs also kind of look like a sideways pear. So They are a big barrel shape, but they're like narrow towards the front end, and then as you get towards the back end, it just gets bigger and bigger. So like they got a lot of junk in the trunk, I guess.
So I'm a taper.
Yeah.
People ask me what body shape I am. I'm like, I'm a taper. Fair. I get it.
But they are quite nimble and good at scrambling.
Nice.
I'd like to know if they could make me breakfast.
Did you write that joke?
I didn't.
You just came up with that?
Just came up with it because I read Scramble and I'm hungry. Okay, also, males are slightly smaller than females. As we mentioned, there are 5 species of them. This is kind of interesting. So tapirs are kind of grouped into New World and Old World.
Okay.
So I think, kind of, yeah. And the Old World is, they're all found in Southeast Asia. There's the black and white Malian or Malayan, however you say Malaysian things. And they can grow up to 800 pounds. They're found in Malaysia and Sumatra. They're black and white, and that actually helps to camouflage them.
Ooh.
And then there's another another species in Asia as well. And then in Central and South America, there's the Bairds or the Central American tapir found in Mexico and Central America, the lowland or Brazilian tapir, and the woolly tapir, which is found in the Andes Mountains.
Oh, damn. Yeah.
And they're much smaller than all of the rest of their cousins.
I can imagine.
Yeah. They're furry.
A little smaller up on the mountaintop.
A little furry. So where can you find these guys besides continents? They really can be found in a variety of habitats, wetlands, forest, savanna. Rainforest is that's like the go-to habitat that I think of when I'm talking about tapirs, because they like to be near water. They are good swimmers.
Oh, I do remember when I was little, I had you do a diorama, and I did it of the rainforest.
Oh, cool.
I remember.
I used to love dioramas.
Right?
They were fun.
It was like crafting and science.
Yeah, it was.
But 3 things I remember about making this diorama.
Yes.
1, I was watching the original It during it.
Oh.
I was like 12. Not great. I super glued my finger to a rock for the first time.
Mm.
And I remember that there was a plastic taper that I put in
the
diorama.
That's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
It was whatever, the black and white one, the Malayan.
Malayan.
Malayan. Malayan. But yeah, I love dioramas.
By the way, I'm definitely feeling the shot starting to creep in.
What? I couldn't tell.
So they like to be near water, and one of the sources that I read, it's because they like to go for a nighttime dip.
Me too! Oh my god, I am a taper. That's what I'm deciding.
Oh my gosh. They live in pairs. They were previously thought to be solitary, and I thought this was kind of interesting because when I was in Kenya a couple months ago, somebody described giraffes as never social, never solitary, and I think that's accurate.
That's me.
I think that's pretty cool to describe tapirs because we were previously thought that they were solitary animals, but now we find that they live in pairs or smaller groups. So going back to the water, their trunks, their nose.
Oh,
So I wrote.
I think I know what you're gonna say.
I wrote in my notes dat trunk dough. So it is actually, it's not a trunk. It's a long prehensile upper lip. And it's.
Do we all know what prehensile means? We've talked about prehensile before.
I mean, if you don't know what prehensile is, you need to go back to 8th grade. Science class.
Yeah. But basically they can use it like a little, not like an extra limb.
It's like an extra hand that can grab things. And so they use this similar to a black rhino, which is one of their relatives.
Oh.
Black rhinos have a prehensile upper lip as well that they use for grabbing leaves off of branches. I wish you guys could have just seen the face that Ashley just made.
I was making my... I think I have... pretty prehensile lips.
Wow. Sorry. Do you want to tell the world that?
I'm just like really good at like, this sounds super.
Keep going. Keep going. I love it.
I have a tendency. I'm just like really good at, this sounds, I have a very specific example.
Specific set of skills.
And it can be applied other, but the way I remember, I can describe it is like, I really like eating graham crackers. But sometimes I'll have stuff in my hands and still want to eat a graham cracker. So I'll eat the graham cracker, but I can hold it in my lips while I'm eating the rest of the graham cracker. Like, I can bite up.
Why pee- graham crackers?
Yeah, this is just the example that I had because I did it the other day.
Oh, my God. But you are a taper.
I'm just really good at, like, holding stuff with my lips.
I hope you get a lot of phone calls after this.
I heard you're good with your lips. That's not going to sound sexy at all. That's going to hurt someone's ears.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
But no, I think I have very dexterous lips. Anywho, so tell me more about these swimming tapers.
So they're prehensile lips, good for plucking leaves off branches and eating fruit, good for sniffing out vegetation.
I bet if you gave them a graham cracker, they would go to town.
So they're also really useful as snorkels.
I knew you were going to say that. I was like, wait. I know why we're going back to swimming now.
Because they love swimming and they love to be in water. They can use their nose. They can submerge and just stick their nose out of the water like a snorkel. They can hide from predators. It's just, it's so funny looking. You got to watch these guys in water.
That's amazing.
Also about their snout. Snout's a really funny word.
It is. It's a good one, though.
The snout can explore up to 1 foot in diameter or 30 centimeters without them moving. So it's like it can get around. It can find vegetation.
It's got a mind of its own.
Truly. Okay, let's zip through the rest of this, shall we? Behavior and communication.
I can't think of...
So they feed in the morning and at night, like a lot of animals, which I was curious, do you know the term for that?
I know being active at, like, dawn and dusk is crepuscular.
Okay. So I think that's it.
Okay.
Let's say that.
Reminder, also, we're not scientists.
Yeah. Do you remember how I said they're kind of, like, pear-shaped?
Mm-hmm.
So this is actually very useful for them following tunnel-like paths through the forest.
Ooh, makes sense.
I mean, I guess it does. I don't know how, but whatever.
Well, because if, like... If you're trying to, if you're barrel, it'd be harder to fit through.
It's true. It's true.
Where if you have a smaller front end,
yeah, and then you're creating the tunnel as your body
as you go.
Yeah.
Like a nail, like the tip of a nail. No?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. That's it. They have a symbiotic relationship with the forests, kind of. So they poop seeds, which helps the forest to grow.
Love a good seed disperser.
They're so important for their local ecosystems, forest health, biodiversity. In fact, a study in Peru found that there were over 122 seed species in their poop.
Damn!
That's incredible.
That's crazy.
It is. In communicating, they used high-pitched whistles. It sounds like car brakes screeching if you haven't heard or gone to your local zoo where the nearest taper might be found.
Mm-hmm.
And they do a lot of snorting, foot stomping, and that usually just indicates I'm here, this is my territory, that kind of thing.
Same.
Snorting, and foot stomping. Like most animals, they define their territory by urinating.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, what
not
else?
Similar. This is the one place where
this
we differ.
Where you diverge.
I just decorate, it's fine.
Okay, 13-month gestation period. They give birth to a single calf. Twins are rare.
Aww.
And the calves, as you mentioned earlier, now, folks, you can go to Google because
you're allowed.
A baby calf tapir is
the cutest
so
thing you've ever seen.
Cute. So they're born, also, this is interesting. All tapir calves, regardless of species, whether Asian or American, they all look the same, even though they grow into different kinds of adults. And so what they look like, they're these little brown things with white stripes and spots.
Oh,
they're really actually quite cute.
They're the cutest.
So go Google.
Yes. And they have those spots because it makes them harder to see. Like, yeah. It's camouflage.
It's kind of like a baby fawn.
That's what I was going
to
say.
I had to beat you to it.
But yeah, just like baby fawns. If you've ever seen baby fawns, they're all kind of speckled.
And
it
they
helps.
Hide.
I think there's lots of other animals, but babies are speckled because it kind of breaks up their silhouette.
Mm-hmm.
But
totally.
Helps them survive.
So something I want to read directly from the San Diego Zoo about tapirs is... They serve as biological indicators of the health and vitality of an area. Tapirs are the first species to decline when there is human disturbance because of their large size, slow reproductive rate, and sensitivity to their environment. So That all being said, they are facing extinction because humans are destroying their habitat for palm oil and rubber plantations and cattle grazing. A lot of the same human expansion that we've talked about previously in other episodes. Humans also hunt them for their meat and their hide, and they're hunted for sport in Costa Rica. But if you've been following the news in the past year or 2 years, anytime recently, the environment is in crisis because humans are consuming and demanding too much of the earth than it can provide right now. And so if you do want to help tapirs or any animal, just be a smart consumer and consider your purchases. Do you need something? Like, for example, palm oil is found in almost every product. But
so
if you can,
many products.
If you can find something that doesn't, like if your cosmetics, check the ingredients. If you can find one that doesn't have palm oil, get that. Or if you can find crackers, or if you can find sustainable coffee brands, like be aware of what you guys are doing, because that change and that shift in demand will take away from corporations that are trying to make a profit off of everything that we purchase. I don't know if I'm describing this correctly.
No, you're doing like, great. We, as consumers, do get a say, because if you don't buy their product, then they can't make money off of it. So, you know, make them, force them into that shift. And I know it's the whole, oh, I'm just one person. But if there's, you know, hundreds and hundreds of just one people doing it, then it becomes hundreds and hundreds of people doing it, and it makes a difference.
It does make a difference.
Yes, what you do matters.
I wrote an article on protecting species, and it was after the UN report that said like 1 million species face extinction.
I had a rough week that week.
It was a rough week, but you know, we are fortunate to live in DC and have connections to a lot of smarter people than us. And so I just interviewed a couple people and put out an article on resilience.org that is how to save 1 million species. So every individual can make a difference. With regard to protecting these animals, there are certain conservation efforts to use them as a flagship species for ecotourism. And now let's just get on to some fun stories, because we want to pick it up a notch, right?
Let's bring this baby back.
So
not that what we said was important, but it was also a bummer. So
they are the official national animal of Belize.
Kind of cool. When I went to Belize, can I tell a story real quick?
Yeah, please.
When we went to
Belize.
Please
tell about Belize.
So I went to Belize in college, and for it was ecology-based trip. So we were seeing a bunch of different animals. And we didn't see any tapirs, but we left a lot of camera traps. So those are traps that are set out, and they're usually like motion sensored. So when an animal walks by, it will take a picture of them. So we collected the camera traps on our last day. We hadn't seen any tapirs. We went, we were waiting in the airport, and our professor uploaded the photos, and he goes through the photos and he calls all of us over. And we were like eight college girls. And we look over his shoulder and it's a tapir sniffing our camera trap. And we all screamed in this airport. So security came running over and was like, what is happening? We're like, we got a tapir on our camera trap. And he's just like, wait, what? And walked away. He was like, all right, nothing's wrong here. So I've never seen a wild tapir, but
You've been in their presence, whether you knew it or not.
Didn't even know it.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. And that makes sense that that's the official animal of Belize.
Yeah.
A group of tapirs. So we said how they're never solitary, never social. But if there is a group of them together, do you know what it's called?
Something real fun, I bet.
A candle.
Oh.
Is that not the weirdest?
What? Yeah, I don't know who's coming up with these things.
Somebody who doesn't have...
Did you know that a group of rhinos is called a crash?
No, I didn't.
My dad texted me that one day. He was very proud of that fact.
Thanks, Dad.
Right?
Man, I want my dad to text me that. Instead, my dad is like texting me, hey, I got a letter in the mail from our insurance. Is there something you'd like to tell me? I'm like, fuck, Dad. No, as a matter of fact, there's not.
I'd rather not talk about this.
Okay, and so let's end with this funny story from the San Diego Zoo. One of their tapirs, Trudy.
What a tapir name.
She earned the nickname of Trouble because she always escaped out of her enclosure. And one time the zoo received a call from a woman shrieking that there was a rhinoceros loose in the sewer. Turns out it was just Trudy.
Oh, Trudy.
Who had gotten into a large storm drain Trudy.
That's amazing. So they're also curious little buggers.
Yeah.
Oh.
So that is what you know.
The amount of times I just went, tapers. So cute.
Well, so that's all I got.
I gotta say, I almost picked tapers to do. It's on my list, which I can now cross off. Mm-hmm. But either way, I'm excited to hear about them because they're super cool.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you. Are you ready for my animal?
I am. Do I get to guess?
Yes, because I'm going to give you a fact. Well, I'll give you a fact and a hint.
Okay.
So the hint is, you learned about them with me. The fact is...
Oh, I think I know what it is, but I forget its name.
Is it's also an amazing seed disperser.
I learned about them with you.
Yep, we were together. I can tell you what I was wearing.
What? Where were we?
Where were we?
Yeah, were we at the zoo?
Nope. Well, have we ever been at the zoo together?
Ashley!
Oh shit, we were. It's not that. Ugh. Oh, I'm excited now that you didn't get it.
It's been a while.
We were at the Natural History Museum.
When were we there together?
For like an evening event.
Oh. Oh.
Oh my God. It's coming together, people.
What?
We're making progress.
Okay, I have visions in my head of that night.
She's got visions of that night. I need to turn up my, mic.
Oh my God. I remember.
Oh, no you don't.
No, I don't.
No, you don't.
Oh, okay. I remember the people that we were listening to. Give me one more hint and it'll come to me.
It's a bird.
Nope, it won't.
Oh, so my bird is a cassowary.
Oh, that's right. The guy was wearing a t-shirt with a cassowary on it.
Oh, so Maggie and I went to this event where they talked about a bunch of different science stories. And one talked about this amazing bird, the cassowary, which is just incredible, but also terrifying. And like I think I had forgotten some things because then I was reading and I was like oh god, like I also want them to be never near me, but I also want them to be my like guard animals.
Oh yeah,
because they're
literally killer guard animals.
They'd be amazing. So for those who don't know what a cassowary is,
yes,
think of a dinosaur. Let's start there. Little tiny velociraptor, because in reality, that's what these guys are.
They are a modern-day velociraptor.
100%.
With feathers.
So they are part of the genus Cassowaries. C-A-S-U-A-R.
Are there like six E's in that?
No, there are zero E's. They're part of the genus Cassuarius. So Cassuarius.
Just in case somebody wanted to know how to spell that.
Yeah, it's important. But they are part of the group of ratites. Which are flightless birds.
Oh, so there's a lot of them.
Yeah. So that includes, can you name some?
Emus.
Yep.
Ostriches.
Yep.
Penguins aren't in that.
No. But rayas are another one. And
what's that large flightless parrot?
I don't know if that's included in this. Hmm. Either way, so they're these large flightless birds, ratites. Ratites. So the cassowary is the third largest. So ostriches and emus are both bigger than them. These guys are crazy looking. I'll get a little bit more into their description, but first, their location. So they're native to the tropical forests of New Guinea, Papua New Guinea, and Indonesia. East Nusa Tenggara.
Oh.
The Molucca Islands. And northeastern Australia.
Yeah.
So we don't have, they're not over in the Americas, but if you go out to east, you can find them. I guess it depends where you are on the planet. But
if you just go to the far, far east.
Yes, yes, yes. There are three species of cassowary.
I didn't know that.
So there are southern cassowaries. They're the third tallest and second heaviest living bird. So ostrich and emu are taller.
Yeah.
And I guess only one is heavier. I guess the emu is probably lighter. I don't know. There's also the northern cassowary and the dwarf cassowary.
Huh.
And there used to be a pygmy cassowary, but that is extinct.
Oh, God.
And one of my favorite facts is that they're often called the world's most dangerous bird.
I hope people don't know what this bird is because we are building it up and it's worth it.
It is. It's insane. And honestly, like world's most dangerous like mammal or most dangerous whale, like that doesn't scare me. But like the most dangerous bird for some reason, like, because you notice they have claws, they have beaks, like, you're like, they just could poke they and could rip the shit out of you. Shit to you. Like, God. Other things, I'm like, yeah, it doesn't seem too dangerous. Like,
yeah, grizzly bear is terrifying, frog, but okay, a cassowary, man, I don't want to get anywhere near that.
Exactly. So one thing that's really cool, I'll get into a little bit more of what they look like. If you haven't Googled them yet, don't, just wait. I mean, Google whenever you want, but they're super cool. But important fact, females are larger and more colorful.
Look at that!
So a win for the ladies. Yes. So get ready for these colors because they have a blue and purple head and neck with like this crazy, crazy, it's called a casque, C-A-S-Q-U-E, on their head. It's like, again, looks like a dinosaur, like this ridge on their head. They have red wattles and amber eyes. Which is just like
it's insane. It is it so is crazy. Out of Jurassic World.
Yeah, you know, like the scene, like the like classic Jurassic Park where it's like a velociraptor and it like turns its head to the side. Just mm-hmm. it's that's a cassowary.
Yes.
And then they're covered in these feathers that are like kind of iridescent, darker purpley, mm-hmm. brown,
purpley black,
black. Yeah. So adult southern cassowaries. So most of this is in reference to southern cassowaries because that's the more that's the most common species.
Okay.
They're 1.5 to 1.8 meters tall, which is about 5 to 6 feet. Mm. So my height. although females can reach 2 meters, so it's like 6.5 feet. They weigh on average 58.5 kilograms, kilograms, which is 130 pounds.
Wow.
So they're like an adult woman.
Yeah,
they are an adult woman. That's like me, which is horrifying.
Oh, man, imagine if we had like blue iridescent necks.
Or red wattles. Yeah, I'd rather not have a wattle. They don't have tail feathers.
I'm envisioning one now. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I guess maybe tail feathers are probably helpful in flying. So if you don't fly,
you don't need them.
You don't need them.
But ostriches have them.
Do they?
Do they?
They might be small.
I don't know.
Either way.
Do ostriches have tail feathers?
Pause while Maggie does my research.
The main use, though, along with the tail feathers, is for displays and courtship. See, that's what I thought, because I have a photo of an ostrich from Kenya where it's just, like, flapping in the wind.
Gotcha. So, more about cassowaries. So, they have three-toed feet with sharp claws. The second toe, so the one in the middle, is a dagger-like claw that may be 5 inches long, which is terrifying. Sometimes they use it to kick humans or animals. So
kick humans or animals.
Yep. So do not get in the way of a cassowary, as you shouldn't anyway. And honestly, if you get up in a cassowary's face and it kicks you, you deserve it.
You probably do because you're a moron.
Yes, exactly. They're terrifying. So I don't know why you would go close to them. Other than, I guess, to stare at their amazing beauty. Also, they can run up to 50 kilometers per hour.
You don't stand a chance.
30 miles per hour through dense forest.
Jesus.
So, like, you take that shit out of their way and they are sprint, like, just the most terrifying thing. A cassowary sprinting towards you. And then, on top of that, they can jump up to 1.5 meters or 5 feet.
I can't handle this.
They jump up to human height. This human-sized bird
stand a
and
chance.
Just kicking in the face with these sharp claws.
Okay, let me ask you this.
So if you're not having nightmares, you're not listening.
So,
go ahead.
Are they aggressive?
No.
Okay. So they won't seek out like trouble.
Yes. From what it seems is that they're very shy birds and they tend to be found in deep woods. Mm. So they don't encounter people a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But if they do and they're, you know, antagonized,
right.
Their defenses, they have all these abilities to defend themselves.
Yeah.
But they don't go, they're not typically like out in the world. I mean, they're out in the world. But they're out in the woods. They're not like
out and about, walking down Central.
But they're not like, you know, pigeons that are like running around the streets. Like to keep to themselves. So I think when they are approached by people.
Right. Like most animals.
Yeah. Pretty
keep
common.
Keep your distance. Respect nature.
But back to this casque that I was talking about. So it's thing on their head.
Yeah.
It's a carotenous.
Sure.
Has keratin, I'm guessing. Skin-covered casque on their head. So now you may Google a picture because I don't know how to describe it.
Yeah, this will help you understand
what
we're talking
about. It's like this big old like skin mohawk.
Like if you've seen... Yeah, skin mohawk. That's pretty gross. if you've seen Guardians of the Galaxy and... what is
blue guy?
The blue guy. What's his name? begins with an R. No, it doesn't. Maybe it does.
Ronan? Oh my,
no, that's the other blue guy.
Damn it.
Oh, no.
It's Merle from Walking
it's
Dead.
It's Michael Rooker.
Well, there goes that, the reference. But since it's skin-covered, like, mound, skin-covered mohawk, really, I think that's the best and creepiest way to describe it, can grow up to 18 centimeters.
What was that word you just said? That was the best egregious?
Creepiest.
Creepiest, okay.
Sorry, I know, I need to work on my enunciation. But so it can grow up to 18 centimeters or 7 inches in height, so, like, it's pretty tall. And then I just have a bunch of questions listed because no one really knows what it's for. Okay. And, like, this is a common theme of, like, kind of, like, back to episode one, narwhals. Like, we don't know what that
large tusk is. Yeah.
But, and so this is it maybe a secondary sex characteristic?
Right.
So, you know, helps with mating, helps them spend a lot of time in the brush. So how, does it help them batter through the underbrush? Is it a weapon in dominance disputes? Because it's pretty strong. Does it push aside leaves when they're foraging? That one I was like, how deep is your head going into the bushes in order to eat food? I don't know, but still. It's been seen to amplify deep sound, so they make these really loud booms.
What?
Which I'll get to a little bit later. And also, I've heard an emu do one of these booms, and they're, like, it's insane. Like, it's the weirdest sound ever.
I've never heard that.
Oh, my God, it's crazy. But I guess it's thought to maybe amplify the boom.
Sure.
Or maybe to even protect them from falling fruit. Since they eat a lot of fruit, I don't know. I've been walking around recently, and the fruit falls with so much force.
You and acorns falling.
I was once dog sitting for Maggie, and I had to walk through the woods to get to the bus, and an acorn fell on me, and it hit me so hard it broke the skin, and I bled. And I will not stop talking about it because I don't understand how that's possible.
You need a cask.
I do. I would have been fine.
You would have been fine. Oh, my God.
But and then also, if you think about it, like, the cask has kind of, like, these slanted edges. So, mm-hmm. like, the fruit would just fall off.
Right.
But, yeah, so that's just a bunch of questions because it's not really definitive as to what it is. And
so
we don't know if we'll ever really figure it out.
Young listeners out there, exactly. If you want to go become a biologist...
This is a question we need answers to.
Yeah, go make that your dissertation and tell us, please.
That'd be cool. So another really cool part about the cassowaries I had mentioned, they're amazing seed dispersers.
Yes.
So they eat mainly fruit, but they will eat other things. So they're omnivores because they've been known to eat insects and such mm-hmm. as well. However, they have been recorded eating over 238 species of plants.
Man, that makes the tapirs seem like
impressive. Well, so that's just in general, because yours was that they found it in one, like, sample of poop, right?
Correct.
This was just in general.
Okay.
So I don't know if they found it. They probably, maybe could. But, yeah, so they eat tons of different plants, and they eat a lot of plants that other species can't.
I have heard that.
Or they're too large for other species
that's
to eat.
That's pretty cool. That's important for the ecosystem.
Crazy important. They are keystone species, so that's
yes.
one of the ones... kind of like tapirs are. It tends to be some of the larger animals. They're keystone species of rainforest because they eat the fallen fruit and distribute it very, very widely via pooping. Amazing. So like I said, a lot of times they'll also eat food. They'll eat fruit that is too large for other animals to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So if they don't eat it, it's not going to get distributed like
sure.
other seeds.
Yeah.
They have amazing digestive systems so that they can digest these fruits and seeds that might be toxic to other species. So they have an unusual combination of stomach enzymes. They have short intestines and a highly active liver, which may help them in protecting and absorbing harmful levels of toxins from the fruit they eat.
So they would have handled that shot a little bit
better
than
us. I can imagine that cassowaries can take a shot like
up.
Like, it's crazy. I would love to party with a cassowary, but can you imagine like a really drunk cassowary just like,
oh my God, just so destructive
people. Oh God, it'd be awful.
Oh God.
But then also cassowaries, can relate to this. They tend to swallow things whole. They just eat it right up. But so then they don't, should I not say I relate to that? No,
wait, say it again. Start again.
I'm starting again. So cassowaries also have a tendency to swallow fruit whole.
Oh.
And so they don't chew up the seeds, so the seeds will pass through unharmed,
sure.
And so they can get distributed more easily than
Do
if they were destroyed.
Do you have an analogy of yourself that relates to swallowing fruit whole?
I was
waiting for it.
I was gonna make one about like I'll eat really fast, but All right, I'm almost done. So some other things about some just behavior related things related to cassowaries. Like I said, they're pretty shy birds. They have this boom vocalization, and I guess...
Can we Google that? You keep talking. I'm going to Google
it. Okay, go for it. They can produce the lowest frequency... It's the lowest frequency bird call known.
Whoa.
And it's often lower than the limit of human hearing. So you might... I don't know if you can actually find a cassowary boom, but if you look up, like, an emu and an ostrich, they're literally... It's the craziest thing because... Nerd alert, I was a percussionist in high school, so we had a lot of drums. But literally, if you stand next to them, it sounds like somebody's, like, hitting some, like, weird, really low drum, like a timpani or something.
I had no idea that.
It's crazy. If you go at the Smithsonian Zoo, the National Zoo, I remember being, I think there are emus that are there, by the emus, and they were just, the males will do it. They'll, like, have this, like, drumming sound. But it's just, it doesn't sound like it's coming from a bird. Average lifespan of wild cassowaries? 40 to 50 years.
Whoa!
Right?
That's a very long time.
I did not see that coming. And then I have, who run the world? Girls.
Cassowaries.
Oh, yeah, okay. Cassowaries, but more importantly, female cassowaries, because this is great. After mating, females will lay a clutch of eggs and then go seek other males to mate with. So they don't raise their young. They leave them to the males. She'll provide the clutch of eggs, usually 3 to 5 eggs, and then he'll nurture them and raise them. I mean, raise them as in, like, raise them to hatching and, and such. But, yeah, isn't that great?
That's hysterical. Female cats are like, gotta go. Thanks.
I mean, I feel that.
Thanks for the lay.
Yeah.
Been there, done that.
Thanks for the lay.
Because she laid eggs.
Yeah. Good one.
Oh,
in terms of their conservation, so the IUCN Red List has them all three species listed as least concern, but they are decreasing, except for the dwarf cassowary. They're listed as stable. However, I guess the southern cassowary is considered endangered in Queensland, Australia. So they're okay, but they're not great.
Yeah.
Primary cause of decline, habitat loss, fragmentation. Also, there was a study done with 140 cases of cassowary mortality and found that over half causes of death were actually motor vehicle strikes. So when they do wander out of the woods, I feel like, especially if you think about Australia.
Yeah.
I don't remember where this study was done. Like, koalas have a big problem of getting hit by cars.
What? Stay in the trees, koalas.
Right? And then another large percentage of that study was 18% of the deaths were caused by dog attacks. Oh. So as much as, like, I love having my dog off leash, know that your dog's not going to attack something else.
Right.
Like,
you got to be aware of your surroundings.
Yes.
For sure.
Yeah. But yeah, so they're doing okay. I think if anything, we just need to know more about them.
Yeah.
So everyone go out there, study cassowaries because they're really cool, but keep your distance.
You
might die.
Don't approach.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So... Tapirs, cassowaries. I think we took a deep dive into the rainforest. I'm here for it.
I think we did, and I'm down with it.
I love it. Who knew that sort of tequila would take us? Although we were ill-prepared with the wine, I feel like we were super prepared with the facts.
I think we just about were.
Yeah. Do you want to close us out?
I think I could.
All right.
Unless
you want to say something else.
No, I have nothing else to say.
You sure?
I think this has been enough. I've been talking about...
I've overshared enough here.
I've shared a lot of... things that will be edited out of this episode. Just a reminder, guys, even though we're animal enthusiasts, we're not exactly scientists.
Nope.
So please don't cite us in your academic papers or anything professional for that matter. Do your research. We just want you to get as excited about these animals like we are, as we are, something like that. Thank you for joining us for season 2, episode 1.
Ooh.
Tune in next time when we learn about more animals, their biology and habitat, the threat they...
Try again. You got it. Keep going. Power through.
Thanks for joining us on episode 1 of season 2.
Woo.
And tune in next time because we're going to be talking about more animals, their biology and habitat, the threats they face, and what people are doing about it. Woo!
See you next time.